Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays, and we are on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we're changing the way that we listen to the world. And this is May 27th, 2025. And on our agenda today, we're going to talk about that new moon in Gemini, which occurred last night. That was Monday, May 26th. Now, I want to talk about that because, you know, it's not just the new moon. You know, the minute it happens, I think it was like 8:02 in the evening. But it really is an imprint for the next 29 and a half days. And so especially for this new moon, I thought, I think it's a little more, I don't want to say profound, but I think it's a little more important. And so I think it's not just like that one moment, that 1 minute in time, and you go, okay, new moon's over, let's move on, let's do something else. Because it truly is a pattern for the next 30 days. I also want to return to Saturn in Aries, because of course we have not nearly gone deep enough with that particular energy. And I think there's some other things to say, and there will be. And I noticed too, one of the things I said last week is that we're going to start looking at like maybe individual messages for each of the signs, looking at Saturn through the houses. And I noticed on Mark's show yesterday, Mark Hessen, you know, in his astrology hour, which by the way, you can see on YouTube, he has a YouTube channel. He talked about taking that Saturn through the houses too. And that is a show I do not want to miss because I think it's going to be really good. And even though Mark and I are very similar in our views of astrology, I always learn something new. I mean, our perspectives are different. We're different people. So what he's going to say about Saturn through the houses, I'm sure there are going to be some things that surprise me. So you can never hear it enough, I think, is my message. All right. And speaking of Mark, I hope that you're tuned in too and that you are subscribed to Mark's Power Peak, because that is that weekly newsletter in which you can get my article, which is astrology the week ahead, but a number of other people write for that. And there's all kinds of good information in there. So I hope you're subscribed. It's a free newsletter that comes out every Saturday night. And in terms of the moon and the planets and astrology, if you want to know where things are, all you have to do is open that up, look at the week ahead, and specifically all of those dailies. It's going to tell you, where's the moon? What are the planets doing today? That sort of thing. So I hope that you're tuned into that. And also you can join me today over in the Facebook chat room. We have a private group. And I think the easiest way to get there is to go to 12radio.com and click on the chat button, and you're going to be automatically directed over there. So if you'd like to join me over there today, that would be great. I know that there's already a few people in the room. And as I said, I try to look at it during the show, but if I end up not, then I always look at it afterwards. So I'm going to see whatever you post there. So thanks for being here. And I see Renee and Tara, at least for right now. And I'm going to leave that for a few minutes and get back to our agenda. But thanks for joining me over there. And please feel free to post comments or questions, and I may or may not address them on the air, but I certainly will see them, okay? And oftentimes, I do go over there and I'll answer things or write additional information. So you might want to check back there in the afternoon or sometime later, I mean, if you're interested. Okay, so looking at the cosmic dance for the week of May 26th. Like I said, I want to look at that brand new lunar cycle. We're literally in the first few hours of it because, like I said, it started about, I think, 8:02 last night. That's Pacific time. So we're not only in the first week, we're actually in the first 24 hours of that lunar cycle. So once again, I want to encourage you to not see it as, okay, I missed that my moment in time when that window opened to set intentions or to grab onto this energy. That's not true. It continues to influence us for the next 29 and a half days as the moon goes through this particular cycle. And so what is the imprint? Well, I think this one is multi-layered. And what I mean by that is there's a number of planets that were actually interacting with the sun and the moon at the time that they joined yesterday. And so that's a big imprint. And the planets that did that are very, very interesting planets. I think they're very influential because we're talking Saturn and Neptune and Pluto. And so to me, that's like, this isn't just your ordinary, maybe Mercury, maybe, Venus, maybe Mars. But those are what we call outer planets. They tend to have more profound influences in our lives. So in this particular new moon, they were all connecting. They were all hooking up. So I think that's something to look at. Now, the only one that wasn't hooking up with them is Uranus. However, this brings me to another thing that I think is so important about this particular new moon or about the period that we're in. I know a lot of people are kind of, we've been talking for some time about how many of the planets are moving into fire and air. Whereas the last few years, and even beyond that, those planets were sitting in water, sensitive, intuitive water, or they were sitting in grounded earth. Now they're moving into fire and air. But what is that going to look like? And I would rather just understand the weather report, so to speak, rather than doing predictions. But for those of you who've been kind of going, well, what's that going to feel like? What's that going to look like? Well, I think this particular lunar cycle, the next 30 days, we're going to get a really good peek at what that energy feels like. Because Uranus is in Taurus still. However, Uranus is the only planet at this time that is not in an air or fire sign. And to me, that's very interesting. I mean, that's noteworthy. Only Uranus and the nodes of the moon, which are in Pisces and Virgo, are not in air or fire. And by the way, just to be clear, the nodes of the moon are actually mathematical calculations. However, I think they have a lot of messages for us as we read them astrologically, but they are mathematical calculations. But that's it. Only Taurus and the nodes in the moon are not sitting in fire. So that's what we've got right now, is a lot of air and fire. I mean, we are seeing it. We are feeling it. And not even to the extent that we will, because Uranus is also going to move into Gemini. So it's going to be in air in a couple of months, I think in July. So those two elements, air, which is mental communication, and fire, which corresponds to the soul, to the will, to that fire energy of what do I want? What do I expect? What are my passions? They're great friends because they feed and inspire and support each other. So when planets are in those two signs, I mean, they're getting along. They can be volatile, but they can also be incredibly exciting because those elements really get along. And so I think what we can expect for one thing is that communication and mental energy is going to be firing on all cylinders in the next few weeks. I mean, that's what's going on. And there's going to be an abundance of inspiration. And just so you'll know, I think we could actually get overwhelmed with ideas and proposals because there's going to be so much. And remember, too, that Gemini is the sign of the twins. And if you've ever been around twins or lots of little kids, or that's the other thing. Gemini is a very youthful energy. And in fact, this new moon, I like to think of as Dennis the Menace, because it's like, hey, what's going on? Hey, adults, how did this happen? What do you think about this? Asking all those questions, being just forever curious. And so that translates throughout this period in all those ideas and proposals coming up. But there again, it doesn't mean we have to act on any of them. Just recognize that they're going to be there. And here again, this new moon, while the sun and moon were sitting at 6 Gemini, well, they were forming what we call a sextile, which is a very harmonizing connection to Saturn, which was sitting over in fire, Aries. Made a sextile to Neptune, which is also sitting in Aries, fire. Made a trine, which is an even more powerfully positive connection, to Pluto in Aquarius. So see, this new moon, I would say, it was not messing around at all. It's like those ideas, those proposals, those thoughts, those things that are coming up for us, they just have all kinds of, I think, profound implications. And if you think about it as pushing the communication envelope a little bit further, Gemini is ruled by the planet Mercury. Mercury is the planet of thinking and communication, the messenger. and the ruler of Gemini. So it's sitting right next door to the sun and moon, literally. During last night it was, and it's still sitting very, very close. So, you know, in terms of when I personify the planets, I think, oh, he wasn't going to be left out. Mercury says, hey, if there's a new moon in my sign, I'm going to be there. And just so you know, Mercury as a ruler didn't have to be anywhere near, you know, what was going on with that new moon. Although, well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because Mercury always sticks pretty close to the sun. So it wasn't going to be more than one, maybe one and a half signs away. But still, the fact that Mercury was just sitting right next door to the sun and the moon, that's important too. So when you look at this and say, what can you expect of this cycle? Here are some of my ideas. I think it's a real mistake to not assume, or it's a mistake to think that all the forms of communication, like words, that that's how the messages are going to come. That it's going to be through a phone call, it's going to come through a text, that there's going to be some letter, that that's the way valuable messages are coming through. And that would make sense. It's Mercury. Mercury, the planet of words, right? And those communications. But because Neptune is involved, and Neptune is that influence of transcendence. Neptune is spirituality, creativity, imagination, the planet of dreams. It's the planet of, in a sense, the invisible world that runs parallel to the one we think of as material reality. Oftentimes when we talk about our reality, we're not talking about so much what we're thinking or that invisible world, our feelings. We're thinking about what we can touch and see and smell and hear, right? Well, with Neptune influencing that new moon, I think there's going to be symbols and images and dreams and visions. And that may be where the insights and the messages are coming from. Now, it doesn't mean you need to ignore words. I'm not saying that's true, but I'm just saying I think it would be a mistake to not think that a lot of messages are coming in ways that we wouldn't expect them to, or they're going to come in those spiritual, metaphysical, whatever you want to call that, you know, that sensation, you know, oh, you know, it becomes an aha moment. Don't expect that everything is going to sound rational or logical, because it's not necessarily going to. Sometimes you have to understand things from a whole different perspective, and sometimes we almost have to just accept that we're not going to understand something. It's not necessarily going to make sense because we're using our rational minds. And that kind of energy, that influence of Neptune is not rational. It's nonverbal. So, you know, in fact, something was going on with my dog yesterday and he was not listening to my words at all. So I kept going, okay, we got to communicate through our minds, okay? Just, you know, let's do it. And, you know, he's just kind of running around and looking at me, but I thought that's it. I had to communicate with him on some other level because he wasn't listening to my words. He could care less about my words. And even my hand gestures weren't working either. So recognize that messages come in all kinds of ways. In fact, a lot of you know, because it's happened to you, I always say water is such a powerful facilitator of creativity and imagination and intuition. Because how many times have you said, you know, you're sitting in a hot tub, you're taking a bath, you're taking a shower, you're near a waterfall, you're swimming, you're walking by a river, whatever it is, and ideas come. So jokingly, in my article in the Power Peak, I said, it's when you're doing dishes, you know, when the water's running. Because when your mind is on something else, your logical mind, and you're just in that place of maybe negative ions, whatever you want to call it, all of a sudden these ideas just come to you. So just allow that to happen and expect it to happen. Because that Neptune in a fire sign, Aries, it's lighting up our desires and our hopes. So things could show up. And, you know, here again, so much of life, I think, is just paying attention to where your attention is. So does a memory come up? You know, is there a recurring dream? Is there a hope or an aspiration that, you know, you go, man, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to learn this. I've always wanted to develop this particular quality or this particular ability. Just listen. Just pay attention. And anticipate, too, that some of the insights that may come up during the next 29 and a half days, they could feel painful. Or they could be encouragements to release, change, or revise something in your life. Because remember, I said transformational Pluto's involved in this. And Pluto is about evolution. Pluto is about rebirth. Pluto is about transforming things in your life, moving from one thing to the next. So that makes this a particularly good cycle to initiate profound release and rebirth. Now, some of the obvious ones, like let's say there really is a habit that you want to reform. You say, I want to quit eating sugar. I want to quit smoking, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And sometimes those habits, you're building a habit, not necessarily letting go of one. But any of those things that appeal to you, pay attention to them. Maybe this is the time to initiate, because here's the other help that we have that is very important during this cycle. Saturn is sitting there supporting a sextile to the new moon. And Saturn is the planet of organization. And it says patient, step-by-step approaches to whatever you're doing in your life. Now, Saturn is considered to be the planet of discipline and limitations. And in fact, we're going to talk a whole lot more about that when we're talking about Saturn and Aries. And you know, those are words so often most of us don't even want to hear or think about them. Discipline, limitations, restrictions, rules, regulations. But what happens with Saturn in this case is it's saying prioritize and plan before you take action, which there again could be a little bit hard. It's sitting in that very fiery Aries right now. So also, I think you could jump to the assumption that Saturn in Aries inhibits action. I mean, automatically, when I was, you know, doing some research on Saturn in Aries, I couldn't believe how many people were jumping there. Now, it's not that that is unusual, because of course, Aries is this willful, impulsive kind of energy, and along comes Saturn, you know, the adult in the room. So of course, I understand why people write that, and I'm not saying it's not true. But I'm saying, I think there's a way to look at it that can be very positive. And that is Saturn's influence is maturity. It's caution. It can be a guardrail to Aries impulsivity. Because how often do we do something? We just, you know, that whole line about, do you know, running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Well, that's it. You know, we just impulsively do something and Saturn goes, wait. What are you doing? What's your purpose here? So Saturn is the voice of reason, warning us to carefully look at our hopes, dreams, plans, and resources before making commitments. And I think what Saturn is doing, it really is asking us some questions about not only what is your purpose, but to at least think through. And once again, it doesn't mean you don't do something that you want to do, but to at least ask yourself, well, if I initiate this new behavior, if I start this, if I start doing something new, you know, what is it going to look like? What's it going to take? Do I have the resources to do it? And what happens if I get bored or my enthusiasm cools? You know, is there a big consequence for making a mistake here? I mean, is it like buying an airline ticket that's not refundable? You know, or is it by like buying one that is refundable, saying, you know what, I can afford to check this out. This isn't taking a huge investment or a huge chunk of my time, or maybe it is taking a chunk of my time, but I can afford it. So it's not, once again, that you don't do it. It's that you just think about it before you start. Can I finish this? What are the consequences if I don't finish it? What are the consequences if I do it for 6 weeks and say, nope, that wasn't it? And I personally would say, I've tried so many things in my life. Even put a little money into them, not a lot, but put some money, taking classes, check things out. I've taken lots and lots of classes long enough to know, that's not it. That's not what I'm going to use. I'm not going to use that particular modality, or that's not something I'm going to pursue anymore. But I think sometimes checking things off your list is almost as valuable, if not more so, than putting things on the list. You know, it's like, okay, now I know it's not that, but I have a little information about that thing because I tried it. I invested in it, you know, emotionally and psychologically. So with Saturn being involved in this new moon, I think we should welcome that kind of cool-headed thinking, the wisdom of Saturn, because I think what Saturn in Aries is telling us, especially with this new moon, is, you know, entertain every single thing that attracts you. And by entertain, look at it, think about it, imagine it, but make a commitment to few things. So entertain everything, but make commitments to few things based on what you really think is possible. And there again, you know, what does it hurt to let your imagination go crazy and really imagine how something would feel if you decided to pursue it? But it doesn't mean that you have to pursue it. And, you know, with that Gemini energy, there is going to be like, look over here, look over here, look over here. That's what it's about. That's Mercury, and that's also Gemini. Now, I do want to say a word about Jupiter here too, because Jupiter right now is sitting in Gemini, but it's sitting at the very end of Gemini. And so it's not closely connected to the moon and the sun. So we can't really say that it's conjunct at this time, but it's still sitting in that same sign. And Jupiter is the planet that literally says, this is how you grow yourself. This is how you expand yourself. This is how you bring good things into your life, or bring things into your life that you want, because everything that Jupiter touches gets bigger. It's the big planet, the one that's huge, right? And right now, that Jupiter in Gemini is squaring both of the nodes of the moon. North node in Pisces and the south node in Virgo. So even though it wasn't sitting right next to the moon and sun at this time, I was thinking there's a big message here too about balancing out and understanding the messages of the nodes. And of course, the nodes sit in a particular location for about 18 months. So it's not like you have to absorb all of this in 1 or 2 days, but the new moon actually brought up the nodes, at least for me. Because that Jupiter square says, okay, these are messages to deal with. These are messages to balance out and to at least listen to them. Because a square says an adjustment needs to be made. And once again, I think what Jupiter was telling us, or is telling us, is this is the way you grow yourself. This is the way you expand yourself. So let's look at the South and North Node. Well, the South Node, and here again, these are my opinions. I'm not the only one who holds them, but I just want you to know a lot of people, there's lots of different beliefs and mythology around the nodes. But the way I see it, the South Node really represents a path. It's what we're familiar with. You know, it's sort of like, what do you already know? Who are you? Maybe what you brought in from a past lifetime. And it has to do with behavior that does tend to be very habitual or over-learned, meaning that, you know, and here again, why can we get out of bed every morning and walk? We don't have to relearn to walk every morning because we know how to do it. It's familiar. We learned the behavior. Well, that's what the South Node is. It's things that we count on. We already know that behavior. But the North Node, I think, is what the soul is doing in this lifetime. It's calling to us and it's saying, hey, look over here. This is something you can develop. This is something you can learn. And of course, it's the opposite of the South Node. So it doesn't mean we have to, abandon everything about the South Node or let it all go. But it just says, hey, it's time to kind of move away from what you already really know and let's learn something new. So the shortcut to me to, you know, thinking about the nodes is, what do I want to diminish and release and leave behind? And what do I want to increase and embrace in my life? So with Virgo South Node, that past familiar stuff, this is what I'm thinking when, you know, and then we're moving towards Pisces, releasing thoughts, habits, and behaviors that exaggerate the importance of the physical universe, especially at the expense of the spiritual one. Because think of Virgo. It's an earth sign. It is about habitual behavior. It is about knowing how to do something and do it right. Whereas Pisces is much more dreamy and ethereal and imaginative and just trying things out. So if we get so invested in the material world that we can't even imagine ourselves as spiritual beings, that we can't imagine, then that's the problem if we're running to that South Node in Virgo versus allowing the Pisces to kind of call to us, to be that siren call. So I think this is about addressing critical, obsessive, and fault-finding attitudes, or the need to be perfect. You know, if that resonates with you, that's something I think this new moon is saying too, is we don't need to be perfect. You don't have to do it exactly this way for it to be the right way. It's a call to be kinder, especially to ourselves. It's a call to recognize our connection to a higher power and to learn to trust our inner voice. So here again, in many ways, Virgo would say, well, prove it to me. Show me. I'm analytical. Give me the facts. You know, show me how it works. I want to see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, right? But understanding there is another connection that you're not going to, once again, be able to explain in words. You may not even be able to explain it in the material world, right? It's also about accepting that life is an evolving process and alternatives are not only possible, but they're probable. There is another way to do this. There is another way to be right about this. In a sense, if you want to look at it that way, there's no one way to make this right. And that progress and moving forward usually requires that we let go or release something that doesn't belong to the future. And I'll tell you, when I was thinking about that this past week, I was thinking about the comedian Stephen Wright, because he had a saying. He said, you can't have everything because where would you put it? And I always laughed at that, and I thought it was so wonderful. And by the way, he had Moon and Jupiter in Virgo in his chart. But just that idea, you can't have everything because where would you put it? Well, maybe psychologically, creatively, you know, in other levels of our life, that's true. You know, we often, I mean, it's the way life works. We release, we let go. Maybe we shortcut something, we diminish something so that we can come up and embrace something new. Embrace something else. So those are the messages, I think, from this new moon and the next 29 and a half days. Okay, now let's turn specifically to that Saturn in Aries. And I know last week we started going through some of that. So some of the stuff I'm going to repeat just a little bit. And other, you know, I mean, and there again, we're going to just keep coming back to it because Saturn moved into Aries. It'll be there for 2.5 years. And yet it will do a retrograde back into Pisces. So we're not quite there yet. But once it truly moves in, then, you know, we're talking about it being there for 2.5 years. All right. And we did talk a lot about what Saturn is like. And so I don't want to repeat all of those today. But what I would shortcut, here's the simplified version. You know, for all the planets, I kind of have an idea, you know, like a shortcut, like Mercury, he's a communicator. It's all about communication. It's about learning and thinking and communication. Venus is about our values. The moon is about emotional expression. Well, Saturn is all about purpose. What is your purpose? I consider to be the great manifester, because you can have all the ideas and all the dreams in the world. But if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a structure, if you don't have a way to organize those ideas, put them together and make them cohesive, then guess what? They usually don't ever manifest. So to me, Saturn really is the great manifester. And I think this is funny. This is where I put, you know, I want to go back to that new moon or those messages coming through that you don't even think about. I listen to a podcast almost every morning from somebody who I consider a spiritual teacher. And I had kind of gotten to the end of one and I'm thinking, okay, where do I want to go next? And I didn't really have any recommendations. So I just went through the list and was looking at some of the titles. And I picked out one that said Forgiveness and the End of Time. I thought, okay, that sounds like a really interesting one. I have no idea where he's going to go with this. But let's listen. Well, I'm just laughing because the whole thing is about purpose. And he says that right up front. He goes, okay, now, you know, as we talk about forgiveness in the end of time, we're talking about what's your purpose? Where are you going? What's your goal? What are you doing? What do you intend to accomplish? What is your purpose? And I can't tell you how many times he keeps coming back and using that word. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is funny. And I'm not saying he never uses that word in other podcasts, because he does. But it was interesting that I naturally was attracted to a podcast that didn't even have that word in its name. It doesn't say purpose in its name. And yet I went, oh, I want to listen to that at this time. And so, yes, you know, and the fact that Saturn was very highly involved or influential in the new moon. See, nothing in a sense is ever a mistake. You know, if you're open, the messages are going to come. So here I am just kind of laughing at this podcast going, okay, I get it. I'm trying to pay attention to Saturn and I'm trying to pay attention to how important that whole word of purpose is. But Saturn in general, remember, it's got so many qualities, so many things about it. It's patience and determination and perseverance and maturity. And always think of it in terms of slow, incremental growth. To me, it's like brick by brick, bit by bit, step by step, we build structure and foundations. Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. So some of the things you know or feel about Capricorn, they go right back to Saturn. You know, it's kind of a restrictive, limiting energy, but it's because it knows the power of discipline, the power of responsibility and structure and duty. But what can happen when you get too far over into that and you're not balancing? That's why Saturn would then be associated with stagnation or contraction, you know, pulling in, a consolidation. Now, contraction, consolidation are not necessarily negative things, but you could also see Scrooge as the miser in that kind of category too, contracting and consolidating all his money and not letting any of it go, you know, not spreading it around. So all of these things, like everything else in astrology, it's a flip, you know, it's two sides of a coin. And in some places we want contraction and consolidation. In some places we want limitations and boundaries and restrictions, you know? It's not going to help you very much if you have water and you don't have a glass to pour it in to drink it. You know, I mean, there are so many times we need those limitations. We need those boundaries that Saturn represents. But here again, a shortcut of thinking about Saturn, in addition to being the manifester and about purpose, it's always associated with work and career and your professional life. Or it's about how you want to be productive. What kind of a reputation do you want to have? What do you want to be known for? It's about authority. So there again, it has to do with father and authority figures. But how do you want to be the authority in your life? And I always think of authority and author as being very, very similar. And obviously they're part of, I mean, they're the same root word. Do you want to be the author of your life? That might be easier to think of in terms, in, you know, instead of thinking of as being an authority, thinking of being, do you want to be the author of your life? And when I think of Saturn too, I think Saturn is about, like, I'm very interested in spirituality, and spiritual growth comes through the fulfillment of duties, responsibilities, and obligations. Now, you might also say emotional growth, psychological growth, however you want to see it. We grow and we mature through fulfilling obligations, fulfilling promises, being true to our word. And there again, you don't have to get overly serious about this, although there again, that's a very Saturn word, serious. But when you think about it, that's how we develop some of those things. And it's very much like, you know, building muscle. You go to the gym and you do something very consciously, maybe over and over, you're building incrementally the muscle, the strength, the flexibility. It doesn't happen in one session at the gym. It happens over time. So these words don't necessarily, I mean, really learn to see words or ideas or concepts from multiple points of view. Because fulfilling our duties doesn't have to be, oh, that sounds like fun. You know, that sounds like a burden. Now, some things do become a burden. We accept a responsibility and then we find out, oh, this was too much. Once again, going back to that new moon. That's what Saturn is saying, is as you start all these projects, as you're putting all that stuff out there and going, hey, I'll do that. I'll sign up for this. I'll take that responsibility. Saturn is going, okay, but can you fulfill this? Is this responsibility going to start feeling like a burden, an obligation that you didn't really want? So just be aware of that. Just be thinking of it. It's about being faithful, Saturn is. Be faithful to the things that you have promised. You know, be that person who's trustworthy and loyal. And be that person who keeps their word, who keeps their promises. Or if they don't, you know, they find a mature way to get out of their responsibilities or to approach their life. Saturn can also feel, and here again, think about Saturn. Where is it in your natal chart? Do you know? Do you know what sign it's in? And do you know where it is in your natal chart? Because where Saturn sits often indicates where we have to work hard. We're going to have to work for something. It's not usually a handout. It's not usually easy. It's where we're going to have to work hard to make things come to us. Because once again, Saturn says, bit by bit, building the structure over time. It's not about just reaching out your hand and getting it. Now, that's more Jupiter. Where Jupiter sits is usually where things will come to us. We attract things with Neptune and Venus and Jupiter. But with Saturn, it's where we work. And so oftentimes, if you look at the place in your chart where Saturn is, it's an area, and this is the bonus, this is the reward. It's where when we do that, when we keep those promises, when we develop that strength, we become an expert. And we become an expert. You know that whole concept of Malcolm Gladwell's where he talked about 10,000 hours. You become the expert because you have bit by bit, you know, piece by piece, built the expertise. So when you work with Saturn, you know, and of course there are going to be times you go, oh, this is so limiting. I don't want to take these classes anymore. I don't want to have to keep doing this. But if you do, you will become the expert. If you practice it, if you keep doing it over and over, rarely are you an expert without putting in the time. Without putting in the energy. That's Saturn. So see how Saturn can be, you know, it can be your best friend. I mean, it truly can. Because yes, it's a voice of reason. And yes, it's that voice of authority and father. And I'm not saying there aren't times that I just go, oh, I didn't need this restriction in my life. Or I didn't need that person telling me what to do. But generally, the more we embrace our personal Saturn energy, when we embrace where Capricorn is in our chart, that's where we are going to become the expertise. We're going to become mature. We're going to have that strength and expertise that's going to feel good to us. It's not going to feel like a burden. Where you have Saturn may be where you feel like you're continually tested in life. Because once again, Saturn's not going to just hand it to you. And by the way, I would remind you, this is all metaphorical. This is all just, you know, reflections. If you're, you know, your chart does not define who you are. But I think on one level or another, we did put, you know, we said, hey, I'll take this. Whether or not, sometimes I think of us as, you know, unborn babies, literally kind of at a, you know, a restaurant going, okay, I'll have this and this, and I'll have a side of that and a piece of this and blah, blah, blah. And we just construct the chart. But yet, when we decide that this is going to be the time, this is the imprint, this is the energy that I want, sometimes we're probably taking things that automatically come together. Like, we're not going to be able to choose the sun in one location and Mercury opposite. Not going to happen. Mercury sits too close to the sun. Venus sits too close to the sun. So those are going to be natural things. So some things, yeah, we're probably going to go, yeah, it comes with a side of mayonnaise. Okay, go ahead and give me that. But that's where we're going to be tested. But if you kind of start taking responsibility for the choices, and I'm not saying that we as people, we don't remember these choices. We, you know, you don't blame people or blame a little baby and go, well, you picked it. You know, it's not as clear cut as that. But the more you can assume some kind of what I'd say spiritual or metaphysical responsibility, then the better it's going to be. Just the better it's going to be. You know, not believing that you're the victim of circumstance, not believing that you're being taken advantage of. So the other thing, when we look at people often that we dislike or that we're complaining about other people, it's often reflections of our own Saturn. Things that we deny, we sublimate, we project onto others. I hate it when people do blah, blah, blah. And have you ever been in a situation, and I assume that you have, where somebody's saying that? They're going, oh, I just can't stand it when somebody talks and talks and talks. And you're going, well, you're the one that's talking and talking and talking. And it's where we're blind. But remember that too. The minute you find yourself going, why did that irritate me? Why did that annoy me? And I'm not saying you have to make yourself wrong, but you might think about it, because so often the things about our own Saturn that we cannot accept or we don't want to accept, then we do project them onto other people. We deny them and project them. That's kind of the human condition, really. And, you know, it's just what we do, you know, and it's what kind of makes us feel safe or gives our life meaning, that kind of thing. Saturn is the skeletal system, the bones and the skin of the body. There again, giving you structure. I love to give this example. If you could imagine your body, your physical body, without bones and skin, just imagine, you would be a blob, right? You would be a blob on the floor. And without bones, there'd be no mobility. You might be able to roll around, I guess, but there'd be no mobility. And without skin, can you imagine not having that boundary? So now you're rolling around and picking up the dust and dirt and whatever else is out there, right? So see, Saturn is a protective, it's a defense, as well as boundaries. And I think there again, I really think the best thing is to go boundary versus defense. But that's Saturn. But yes, it is true that when we kind of push into the idea of Saturn, then we do get those things that I would consider a very traditional astrology. You know, Saturn was called the Greater Malefic and often called the Grim Reaper, represented by the Death card in Tarot, the Lord of Karma. So it was about fear and insecurity and loneliness and inhibitions. Here again, if you know the mythology of Capricorn, it's the child who was basically abandoned because his father kept killing all of his siblings, right? It was Cronos, and Zeus was born and hidden away because, you know, Cronos would have killed him because of a prophecy that he would rise up and destroy him. And so, you know, when you think about the mythology of Capricorn, it is that lonely, alone child who's trying to make it on their own. They're trying to adapt. They're trying to get the discipline and the structure and the organization to make it. And you know what? They do. They overcome every single one of those things. And then they're not afraid of those things. But it is true that Saturn represents those things. So like if somebody said, I'm depressed, yeah, I might go look and see what's going on with Saturn in their chart, or if they're particularly pessimistic, or if they're talking about being lonely or there's loss or insecurity. Sure, I'm going to look at some of those things. Those are things that are associated with Saturn. But once again, it's I'm not going to say it's not important, but I think it's just all part of the mythology of why is that? And maybe even loneliness sometimes can teach us how strong we really are, right? So now we have that Saturn and has moved into, I consider the baby of the zodiac, into Aries. You know, Aries is the very first sign, the go-getter. I'm pushy. I'm going to go after it. I'm impulsive. I'm courageous. Give me something to do. Give me something to work for. Give me something that's going to be exciting that I have to overcome. So, you know what? There's actually some similarities there with Capricorn, because it's like, I don't want it to be easy. I want this to be boot camp, you know? And as I work through those things is how I'm going to find my purpose. That's how I'm going, you know, and as I develop and exercise discipline over my thoughts and over my behavior, when I foster attitudes and cultivate knowledge, skills, and abilities in alignment with my purpose, And guess what? Life is going to just become something completely different and wonderful. So, and I mentioned this last week, I think Saturn in Aries is very much about working on anger and victimization issues. And just saying, yeah, this is my class, this is my course, I'm going to push myself. Instead of going, well, this isn't fair, this doesn't feel good, where's lunch? Right? And once again, thinking of Saturn as developing and perfecting ourselves through meaningful activities, projects, work, whatever you want to call it. I don't care if you're getting paid or not. But Saturn says, perfect yourself through meaningful activities. Find your purpose and do something with it. All right. Well, we've got a few minutes left. And as usual, I have notes and notes and notes. We haven't gotten to a lot of them, but we'll continue to make our way through. But I wanted to give you this one quote. I don't think I gave it to you last week. If I did, I apologize. But I'd also say it's a really good one. It's from the Dalai Lama. And he said, it is important that we not think of self-discipline as being imposed from the outside of us by an irresistible power. Discipline must come from within. It should be based on clear awareness of its value, as well as a certain degree of introspection and mindfulness. Once you have such an attitude towards discipline, it will be self-adopted rather than imposed. Being freely chosen, discipline will really help you develop two very important qualities of the mind: alertness and mindfulness. As you develop these two basic factors of awakening, you will have the most powerful tools to attain single-pointedness of the mind. Now, like, how powerful is that? Just, I love it. And when I think about discipline, I always come back to that quote. When I think about Saturn, I always come back to that quote. And then here's one, a short one by Colette Baron-Reed. Clear intentions have the power to change the world. So, you know, it's worth using Saturn to get clear on what you want, what you need. Now, I have a few more quotes. We won't get to all of them, but just to give you an example of people born with Saturn in Aries. Now, this one just makes me laugh. Evel Knievel. Do you remember who he was? I mean, you know, that guy who was always just pushing and, you know, jumping his motorcycle over, you know, mountains and just doing outrageous stuff. Well, he had Saturn in Aries trine, meaning, it was working collaboratively with his moon in Leo. And think about Leo is, hey, look at me. You know, I need to, this is self-expression. He also had Saturn square Chiron, and Chiron's a wounded healer, in Cancer. So I think, truthfully, that kind of gave me this vibe of, I've got to push against Saturn square Chiron to just prove that I can move beyond this, you know, maybe being soft or not, or the hurts in my life. And so here's a couple quotes by him. You come to a point in your life when you really don't care what people think about you. You just care about what you think about yourself. Now, that's one thing I do notice in looking at lots of people that have Saturn in Aries. There tends to be that feeling of ultimately the reputation, ultimately, you know, caring what other people think. It's just got to be, what do I think about myself? And he also said, my failures had a lot to do with my fame. I created Evel Knievel, and then he sort of got away from me. And I like that quote because it also has to do with that Aries thing of, yeah, you just bounce out there, maybe without doing all of the planning that you needed to do. Ted Turner was born with Saturn in Aries. Now, his was in collaboration. He had a trine to Mercury in Sag, opposite Mars in Libra. So there again, pushing, I think Saturn in opposition to Mars is almost always a difficult kind of energy. It's personal will. And can you bring that personal will into alignment with maybe a higher, you know, value in your life, your purpose? You know, I want to go eat ice cream, but that's not my purpose. You know, that's not in alignment with something else that I want to do. You know, I want to run a marathon, so eating ice cream at home probably isn't going to get me there, right? that kind of thinking. He also was born with Saturn in Aries, square Chiron in Cancer. And so he has a lot of great quotes too, including, "I didn't care what, how much adversity life threw at me. I intended to get to the top." He also said, "I see what keeps people young, work." And see, isn't that perfect? It's a Capricorn, you know, the Saturn kind of energy, work, you know, and in Aries, I'm going to get to the top. I'm just going to push, push, push till I get there. Now, Helen Keller also had Saturn in Aries. Now, hers was square Mercury. It was out of sign, but square Mercury. And I think that's interesting considering that, you know, she couldn't hear and she couldn't speak, right? So she learned another way to speak. She learned another way to communicate. And her quote is, "Many persons have a wrong idea about what constitutes true happiness. It's not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose." And see, here again, that idea is there's got to be something bigger than me that I'm faithful to, that I see as my purpose, that I see as I want to aspire to. That's Saturn in Aries. Now, I realize we're going to have to close it out, so I'll give you some of these others next week. But Simone Biles was born with Saturn in Aries. So got some good quotes there. But closing thoughts, we thrive. Actually, you know what? I'm going to save these. I'll use these next week too. Just the idea that there's so much about Saturn in Aries for us to embrace and for us to really think about and for us to just, you know, to really love that organization and discipline in our lives and come to learn it as something that is our best friend, you know, like the bones, like our backbone, right? So we'll keep diving into that in the weeks ahead. But for now, we are going to wrap up. So thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for going into the chat room and to everybody who listens to this live, or maybe you're listening to it in the archives of 1-2 Radio. I hope that you'll stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. And I can't help myself. I'm going to get one more quote from Albert Einstein, who had Saturn in Aries conjunct Mercury. And, you know, obviously he just has so many good quotes. But here's one. "Everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." So that's something to chew on as you go through your day, go through your week. So everybody, thank you for joining me. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio. You can find me on 1-2listen.com. You can always ask for a scheduled call at a time that's good for you, or ask for a call back. And if I'm available, I'll hop right on that line and help you out, and we'll just have a chat. So we are changing the way we listen to Saturn as we explore this new moon in Gemini.